That music will get you pumped up. We're here live. We're talking MLS. We're talking U.S. soccer. First live stream of the offseason. I'm Bob. He's Alex. Let's go. We're here. We're back. Guys, thank you for tuning in. We're talking all about soccer today. I know a lot of our fans on Twitter, you're used to hearing some NFL content. Today, we're talking about the other great football. Alex, how you doing today?
I'm good. Excuse me where I'm recording from. I'm in my kitchen today. Bob knows you. I have a three-month-old little rabbit that's running wild, and I decided to not lock him in the cage while recording, so let him run around here between my legs while we record. So if I look distracted, it's not because I'm looking up information. It's the little guys running around.
I will be the one looking up information, as you know, the worst pronunciators of names that you can find in the YouTube universe when it comes to soccer. We have a ton of fun MLS stories. We have some U.S. men's national team stories. First of all, if you're watching, drop a comment. We're going to pull those right up on screen. As you saw, we're up on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We are live on Twitter, which is formerly Periscope. We're talking about U.S. men's national team stories of the week. Now, we kind of already talked about LAFC in their CCL final loss 2-1 to Tigres in our last episode, but I guess we got to start there. We're talking news from the last 2 weeks. We took a little Christmas hiatus. LAFC, they had a chance. MLS is really having a shot at this. CCL didn't get it done this year.
Close. Very close. But at the same time, spending, again, it comes down to spending. And MLS does not spend as much as Mexican teams. We're close. LAFC was up 1-0 late. There was a questionable penalty. Could have made it 2-0. Not called by the ref. No VAR in this. Next year, that will not be an issue. VAR would have changed a couple of things in this game and other games in this tournament. But, well, Diego Rossi Vela tried. Just not good enough. Again, 2-1 final. Gignac, a big-name player for Tigres, formerly produced and in a big spot. And it was a close game, tough game, physical game. Bob Bradley had the boys ready. They were up 1-0. They just couldn't pull it off.
It makes you wonder if Vela was full strength, if he had played a little more
probably
this
not.
Season.
Yeah,
what could have been different? No?
Yeah, probably not. He wasn't 100%. Yeah, I don't think he was 100%. But
would it have been different? Could it have been different if 2020 he wasn't 2020, it. Maybe 2020 would have happened.
Yeah, listen, he missed a chance where they're up 1-0, make it 2-0. And it was a really good chance he had. He missed. That would have changed that game. And if he had that penalty call, they really would have changed the game. It just was not MLS's time this time. It was not LAFC's time. But I'm very encouraged to see how close MLS is now with the Mexican teams. You know, we keep hearing this merger, MLS and Liga MX may happen one day, blah, blah, blah. We could start talking about that when MLS starts winning these games to go in the Champions League. Until that time happens, I don't want to hear any merger between Mexico and MLS into one league. Looks like I'm alone here.
I'm just pretending that didn't happen. That didn't happen. I was here the whole time.
Hey now.
If you look at the bracket, LAFC had to beat Mexican teams to get to where they are. So just, although right. They didn't win the big one.
It's all about the trophy, Bob. You know me.
So
what did Ricky Bobby say? If you ain't first, you last. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, as long as you're in a pain slot, if we're talking fantasy, it's okay in my book. Okay, got to move on now. MLS reportedly plans to terminate collective bargaining agreement by triggering the force majeure clause. This addresses finances. No fans in the stands for some of the 2021 season. They've lost about $1 billion so far. TV contract with ESPN, Fox, and Univision, only $90 million. That's a huge loss of revenue. They're trying to make up for it one way or another. Apparently, they're looking at taking money from the players.
This is sad. You know, the players for years have taken less. It seems like they've caved every time. Couldn't get charter flights for Christ's sakes until what, last year. But it is what it is. You lose $1 billion. You got to get the money from somewhere. Now, MLS is a different compared to Premier League, La Liga, other leagues around the world. They rely on television revenue. MLS does not. Like you said, $90 million. I mean, in Premier League, that's a drop in the bucket to the bottom of the teams. They make way more. Plus Champions League, plus all that, plus yeah. Local. You know, MLS, you make your money on ticket sales and merchandise and crap like, stuff like that. We're a little different than the rest of the world. And we lose $1 billion, the owners are trying to get their money back. Now, we're going to talk about this a little later. You see the sell-off of some of our players to the European teams. We'll talk about that a little later, making some of that money back. But it's only a drop in the bucket of what these owners lost. And, you know, until we get a TV contract like the NFL does or MLB or NBA, this is how it's going to be. Now, I feel bad for the players. It would not surprise me if there is a lockout slash strike. I don't know what you want to call it, whether the players are not showing up or the owners lock them out. But this, I think this is ugly. Now, don't forget, we got lawsuits with NASL and Rocco Commisso. That's costing the U.S. Soccer Federation, MLS money. They're all tied into one thing. Yet the women suing the men for equal pay, that's taking a lot of money. We didn't have Gold Cup. We didn't have U.S. men playing games, taking money against, you know, friendlies against Argentina to see Messi, $60,000, I'd say, at the Rose Bowl, whatever. None of that happened. None of that money's coming in.
A lot of expenses. So, and
it's a problem. It's a problem.
With a B. Down $1 billion with a B in this offseason. And I kind of jokingly wrote in the doc, will we be sitting here talking about MLS next offseason? We make jokes about, you know, this being a pyramid scheme, about, you know, the $30 million injection every time a new expansion.
$300 million.
How many
million
teams are you going to expand to, Alex? How many? How do we get this
wrong? I don't know. You know, I'm afraid, and I want to water down the product too. At the same time, I don't know what's going to happen here. Something's got to give. We're expanding like crazy, which is great for the game. But like I said, that pyramid scheme has been brought up more than once. What happens when the $300 million a year you're getting from a new franchise that stops coming in? I know we got St. Louis coming in. We got Sacramento coming in. We got Charlotte coming in. After that, what are we going to do?
He better start selling some tickets.
I don't think ESPN's going to start paying
people. Let's get MLS going.
I don't think ESPN and Fox Sports are going to start paying tenfold what they're paying now for the MLS package. So yeah. Something's got to give.
But the deal is very, very favorable for the TL television company. We said that when it first happened. So something's got to give here. And I think a new TV deal would help keep the MLS sustainable. Of course, everything else, who knows? It's 2020. Angela says, it's going to be an interesting MLS offseason. That is for sure. And we're going to talk about some of those changes right now, because right over the river in New York City, NYCFC seems to be selling off some of their assets. Matriza's out on loan. That happened during the end of last season. Now, Alex Ring to Austin FC, up to $1.25 million in GAM. And Ronald Matarita to FC Cincinnati for $600,000 in GAM. These were not trades. These were sells from an MLS team to an MLS team, which brings about $1.8 million to NYCFC. Alex, those are two big deals. And that is kind of the story so far of the offseason, NYCFC selling off. We don't assume they're going to stay like this. We assume they're going to make a big deal.
They're going to reload. I know they're going to reload. They got deep pockets, Manchester City, you know, oil money. I don't know who they're – so they're linked with I think you mentioned a defender in Scotland right now. But I haven't really – you know, I think I saw a midfielder somewhere from South America, but nothing major. NYCFC is going to make noise. Remember, the Lionel Messi coming to MLS, he said, I want to come to MLS. Immediately, you think of New York City FC. Maybe he's going to come to MLS. So they're up to something. I don't know what it is. The stadium project is a problem. I heard parking this, and there's articles recently. They think they have something. They don't have something. Until they get a stadium, it's hearsay for me for New York City. Their main priority, they need to find a stadium. This is a joke. They're playing at Yankee Stadium, that bandbox, and enough's enough with that, really. Garber's got to step in. I know, you know, they got deep pockets. You don't want to piss them off. But how many years now has it been? You're playing at Yankee Stadium, you keep saying you're going to find a stadium, and nothing's happening. And then once it starts, it's like a two-year project. So we're talking 3 years from whenever NYCFC even has their own stadium.
At the very earliest.
And in New York City, you know, with the way the unions go and construction, that's a 4 or 5 year project if it starts today.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Angela's saying both RBNY and NYCFC going to be a good matchup in 2021, both rebuilding. That is true. If you remember, up until a couple of years ago, Red Bull was rebuilding every single year. Remember those years where there were 10, 12, 15 players just circulating on the roster every year? We've slowed that down by winning, you know, Supporters Shield 2018. That 2018 team was intact until about halfway through this season. So, yes, it is a rebuild project. But remember, in MLS, a rebuild is not a five-year rebuild like in baseball or a three-year rebuild like in the NFL. It could happen over one season. And I don't think NYCFC is done. $1.8 million they cleared for a reason. Either that's to pay rent in Yankee Stadium, or that's to get some young stud who they're going to try to bring over. Remember, they were a big spender when this league first opened, bringing over Pirlo and Lampard. I don't think they're done yet. I think NYCFC is a team to watch this offseason.
Absolutely. They're going to be linked to some big-name players. I would expect any now in the January transfer window is going to open soon. I'm expecting some big names from Europe and South America any day now from New York City FC. And if you want to talk to Angelo, I know I see Angelo on Twitter. I know he loves Fagundes on New England. He wants him on Rebels. Angela, it's not going to happen, man. It's just not going to happen. But I love your passion, but it's not going to happen. Look, the Red Bulls now are during a transition. You got a new sporting director. You already seen some in the expansion draft. You lost Ben Mines, who's gone to Cincinnati. A couple other guys. Jared Stroud is in Austin.
Stroud is out, yeah.
Some of the younger guys that we've developed through our system is now gone. You have a new sporting director. A new sporting director, I don't care what sport, what league, what team you're in, the guys that are on the roster are not safe. And that brings me to our DP.
And they should.
They're not favorite players. And that brings me to the link now we have with our DP Kaku, the Argentinian, Paraguayan, whatever he wants to be this week, which nationality he wants to be this week. He is now linked with Tijuana for, I think Red Bull paid over $6 million for him. They're offering $3 million plus 500 incentives plus a 20% sell-off fee. To me, I think he's as good as gone. I don't think Thilo is here. Do you remember at the end of the season, Kaku benched, not playing 90 minutes?
Not playing the most important game.
I know he had international duty, but he didn't hardly play international. He played in one game. He sat bench for some. I know he had the COVID. They had to sit out for 14 days. You can see right off the bat, he's not a Thilo-type player. I think he's as good as gone. You're going to have to bring a new playmaker. I don't think it's Kanan Clark. I don't think he's ready to pull the strings. I know he's linked to go to Europe in January next year, whatever it is.
Clark could be very good and also not be a DP game-changing caliber player. Now, that's what I think.
Maybe he's not a number 10. I don't think he's a number 10 or to spray the ball around the field, but he's a great young talent. Now, I think the Rebels situation is very simple. You need a guy that can score and a guy that can distribute right now, make a big difference on his team to play the high-press style. Young, and then can run. That's what the Rebels are always good at. No, you need a guy to replace Kaku, and we need a forward up front. There should be another playoff run. And you look what
I do like what
Columbus did. Zeller Ryan, one guy, one DP, a playmaker changes everything. Look at Seattle, Ladero. You look at in Minnesota, they picked up Emmanuel Reynoso. Yes. All these guys are better than Kaku. I don't care what anybody says; they're all better. Look how and look at their playoff run. They're all better.
We're not happy with that. Yeah. Angelo says Kaku on his Instagram has Red Bull New York jacket with DC United shorts. He could wear whatever he wants. He's a bust. He's a bust.
I'm sorry. I'm not. Guys are trapped in 2018. You got to get your heads out of your ass. Enough with Kaku already. 3 goals, 3 assists last 2 years, every year. Come on, man. Look at the other DPs around the league that play.
Worse is that there's no internal motivation. It's like these other DPs are going out. They're making differences. They're throwing the team on their back. Kaku's not throwing a team on his back and saying, hey, we're going to do this
again. Yeah, look at Pozuelo. The money we paid, we could have a Pozuelo, or we don't got it. That's a problem.
Absolutely. But let's talk about some great players around the league. Brian Reynolds from FC Dallas. He was so good. He got sold to Juventus for 8.5 million euro. It's a lot of money.
Well, let me tell you, they're doing something right in Dallas. They're doing something right in Dallas with those kids. I read $19.5 million in transfer fees in the last year and a half. I mean, in a pandemic with no fans, if you can make $20 million selling some players off, and they just reload. You know there's another guy we don't even know that's going to be a right back in Dallas that's very good.
Yeah.
Reggie Cannon, this guy steps right in. I mean, it's amazing what they're doing down there. And, you know, great business by Dallas. Great business.
We talk about a lot of guys. You know, year after year, week after week, it seems like we've been talking about the young kid in Chicago, Georgi Mihailovic. We've been talking about Brendan Aaronson for years. Brian Reynolds, if you told me December 30th last year, hey, there's a kid named Brian Reynolds on DC United, FC Dallas, I'd be like, yeah, I've seen him.
And Reggie Cannon had to go.
$8.5 million to Juventus next year. I would have told you to get that out of here.
And what they get for Reggie Cannon, like 2.5 to Boa Vista? I mean, it's amazing.
Saying in specific is Brian Reynolds' ascension has been like a 10-month boom. Now he's famous.
It's amazing. Again, we talked about this before the show started. This is the Western McKinney effect. Watching the American go to Syria and doing very well. Now these teams, some of these bigger clubs in Europe are like, wait a minute. United States is an untapped market. Jersey sales and promotions and fan clubs and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we can get this guy. Brian Reynolds was, let's say, an Englishman. They want $20 million for the transfers. This is Dallas. This is an American. You get them for less. And teams are starting to notice you can get good, young talent at not the tight prices that you're paying around the world. South America is another example. You go to Argentina and Brazil and pay for some of these younger guys that if they weren't Argentinian or Brazilian, you'd have to pay more for. I mean, this is another example of that.
Everyone around the world's got a story. And if you follow MLS, just like we'd followed baseball in the past, for baseball, every one player who makes it, how many busts do you have? 90? 100? Probably double that, 200. So, you know, prospects are just prospects. They're nothing until they're something. And there is a young kid in a new place in MLS that we're going to talk to in just a minute, and that is Javier Lopez of Chivas. Guadalajara headed to Quakes. Now, Quakes had a really big week. There are three big news stories out of San Jose. Chris Wondolowski re-signs with Quakes for the 2021 season. We celebrated his retirement all offseason, one of the premier goal scorers in MLS history. Chris Wondolowski is coming back for another swan song with the Quakes. Don't necessarily know why. The team was not very good last season, but he said in an interview, 2020 will certainly be a year we will never forget. And while the pandemic has caused so much pain throughout the world, it's also given me an opportunity to reflect on the things I value most. He goes on, I'm fully committed to making 2020 the final year. I was fully committed to making 2020 the final year of my career, but I've reconsidered and can't wait to join my teammates one more time as we look to bring an MLS Cup back to San Jose. The fans have consistently supported me through ups and downs, and I'll always regret not properly saying goodbye. And that's kind of the key word. He wanted to retire. He was fully set on retiring. It's 2020. There were no fans. He couldn't do it. He's coming back another year.
I love Wando. I mean, what he means for the league, the way he plays, his passion. He's beloved in San Jose. It's a good move. The bigger story here is Almeida's coming back. There was rumors he wasn't happy with the spending. He wasn't sure he was coming back. I think he had an offer from Cruz Azul for a two-year contract, I think, or something like that. I don't know if you know much. I'm not the biggest Mexican soccer fan, but I know they were in the playoffs. They were up 4-0, and they were eliminated. So they had a big coaching change there, and he decided not to go there, a Mexican-type power-type team, Mexican team, to finish out his contract in San Jose. But the comment to me at the end of the year that they can't spend, it's hard to compete.
Like he wanted out, so it's kind of weird.
Right, but I'm thinking there's some kind of agreement with ownership that they may spend some money this year. They brought Wando back. You're talking about Lopez. I'm sure they're linked with some more guys.
Yeah.
They're a young team. They just need depth. They don't have any depth. If an injury happens, they're screwed.
Now, some veteran players. He did have a big loss, and we're talking about some depth with the Quakes. Of course, Chris Wondolowski coming back. Almeida is also coming back. But they're losing Danny Hosden. They lost him in the expansion draft, so they will look to retool. They did retool by signing Javier Lopez of Chivas. His name is Javier Eduardo Lopez. They call him La Chofis, which apparently is a nickname, La Chofis. And it is his nickname because Chofis is a pet name for Sophia, and he looks like an ex-teammate's girlfriend, Sophia. So they call him La Chofis.
I love nicknames. That's a double thumbs.
Sir Alex, disapproval.
You can't be nicknamed after someone's girlfriend or so. That's not going to happen on the Sir Alex watch. I can tell you that right now.
Apparently, he likes to be called by his middle name. So Eduardo Lopez seems to be what he's going to be going by in MLS for quite a while. The deal's not done yet, but it looks like he will be coming to the Quakes. 26-year-old attacker. He was let go from Guadalajara for lacking discipline. He was part of four members who were all released at the same time. There was a rape accusation on one of the players in Guadalajara, and when it came out, that player was immediately sent off, and there were four of them packaged together and sent away. So although he was not directly involved in that rape violence case, he was part of the four players who were unceremoniously cut. And hey, I don't know, and if there was any truth to those rumors, this may not be the end of the story here, because we know Quake fans and MLS fans aren't going to put up with that kind of thing just flat out in general. Won't happen, but let's just say it was just behavioral. He's not practicing. He's not getting to bed on time. Is Almeida the guy to fix that?
Yes. Almeida is a known coach in the CONCACAF region, South America, Central America, North America. Any job that opens up and his name is linked to it, I mean, his name is going to be linked to any big job in this part of the world. I really like him as a coach. What he's done with less. I mean, San Jose had no business even being anywhere near the playoffs last year, and they were exciting in the bubble. And sometimes with the way they played on their meta, sometimes they did the high press, sometimes they didn't. He knows X's and O's. He knows the game. He just needs players to produce what is in his head to win on the field, to be a winning organization. They got to spend some money. That's all it comes down to. They got to spend some money.
We'll see what else is in store, but those are the three big stories out of San Jose, one of the biggest clubs making news headlines this past week. Of course, just to recap, Chris Wondolowski re-signed, Almeida re-signed, Danny Hosen out in the expansion draft, and Javier Eduardo Lopez, nicknamed La Chofis, is in as an attacker for that team. So let's move on. Some U.S. men's national team news. Mark McKenzie and Io Akinola are the headliners this week. Mark McKenzie transferred to Belgian club Genk. Rumors were for that he was going to move to Celtic, but apparently the price wasn't right. They really lowballed. I think it was like a $3 million offer. The reports now are that Genk reportedly paid over $6 million for Mark McKenzie. Let's talk about this.
I think it's a great move. A lot of people don't know Belgian league that well. Belgium's number one in FIFA and soccer. That team is second in the league. There's some powerhouses, Club Bruges, Anderlecht. Sasha Kleisch was there for years with the Champions League. I don't know how many times. Genked and Genk, they're, you know, the last letters change. A lot of people get confused. But make no mistake, Genk is an excellent organization. Kevin De Bruyne, for one of the best, one of my favorite players. I think he's the best midfielder in the world. He was there at one point. They send players that eventually they were in Genk go around the world to the Juventus, Manchester United, blah, blah, blah. They go all over the world. It's a great league. And if he gets minutes there and he could start and play there, I mean, we already got a bunch of ex-MLS guys that have played in Belgium. Andler, for example, Lawrence, Miazga, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, this is exciting for MLS. Yes. It's exciting to be a Philadelphia Union fan. Like, a lot, I'm reading some things Philadelphia Union.
The second guy, Aaronson and Mark McKenzie. Right.
They're like, oh, we're not going to be good this year. But you made over $10 million in a pandemic with no fans, and you're known in the world, Philadelphia Union. Soccer fans of soccer countries have never heard of Philadelphia Union before some of these. I guarantee you, in Belgium, they did not have no idea who Philadelphia Union were. They never heard of the organization. Now they know. And they're going to look again for more young talent as if this guy produces. And you're going to make more money and just put it right back to the system or sign more guys. It's a great move. Look, Mark McKenzie, to me, can start for the U.S. national team. It's between him and Aaron Long, I think, is going to go down. He's a lot younger than Aaron Long. I really like him. He's very good, though. He's better on the ball than Aaron Long. He might not be as physical.
He's better upfield. Yes, also, Aaron Long.
He might not read the game as well as Aaron Long, but this kid, he's not hit his upside. His ceiling is still there. We know what Aaron Long is. Dependable, reliable, but Mark McKenzie, to me, this Heather from Sons of Ben wanted us to talk about it. We're talking about it. We love Mark McKenzie. I love the move by Philadelphia Union, and the sky's the limit for the kid. As long as he gets minutes there, if he goes there and gets loaned down and doesn't play, I don't like it. But he's going to play there. This is a great move. Great move.
Mark McKenzie turns 22 in February 25th of this year, so he's still got.
It's only going to get better. That is an offensive league. That is an offensive league. You got to be on your toes to play defense there. You're going to get left behind. They can score there. Lukaku, for example, like guys, he's somebody. Belgium's number one in the world. I mean, you know, that is a tough league, and if he could go there and start and do well, fantastic.
Ayala Kanola, a player that we've talked a lot about, he is being courted by Canada. He is in Canadian camp. He was in U.S. men's national team camp during last month's training, and he's one of those dual internationals that is kind of being pulled both ways. Now, we both talked about the MLS guys we like. We both actually prefer Daryl DK, which is very uncommon. It's an unpopular opinion. We both came to it on our own, and we actually found out together talking on this podcast. This is not like an off-the-air conversation we've had. So we both prefer Daryl DK, but Ayala Kanola, ton of upside, came on really hard during this season, and nothing is permanent yet. But just know, Canada's pulling one side, the U.S. is pulling another side.
Hey, it comes down to if he can get minutes. If he thinks he can be a starter in a Canadian national team up front, he's going to go to Canada. If he thinks he can play for the United States and start, he's going to be a United States guy. Again, they're both wooing, you know, these dual nationals.
Yeah.
Berhalter, I got to give him credit, has been very good at getting some of these guys. We didn't know, what's the guy from Valencia? Mensa? I never even heard of that. I saw him like, wow, great job, Berhalter, getting him. You know, Serginho Dest, you see what he's doing in Barcelona. So we can get some dual nationals to come our way. Great. Again, he's testing the waters. It doesn't mean since he's in camp, he's going to go to Canada. I think he's probably leaning that direction. Would it surprise me with Daryl DK and Jordan Morris and Zardes and, you know, Altidore is probably still in the mix somewhere. And he's looking at that. He's looking at Canada. He's like, you know what? I got a better shot of playing in Canada. So would it surprise me if he chose the Canadian route?
Wouldn't surprise me either. Again, he's not neither one of our first target, but he's a great depth piece.
Oh, I like him. His potential is only going to get up. I mean, he's young, he's powerful, he's good in the box. And he's had a couple of his hamstring bothered him a couple of times. He's been a little injury prone. He's got a little of Altidore in him, which I don't like. You know, Altidore's got that injury thing. At a young age, I have these hamstring problems. To me, I don't get it. But his upside, he's powerful in the box. DK and him are very similar to what they do in the box. I just like Daryl DK a little more. To me, he's slightly more polished than him.
He's bigger, he's stronger.
I love DK.
U.S. built. You don't
need him on. Berhalter should call him. I hope Berhalter called him over for Christmas and New Year's Day to hang out with him, man. keep wooing this guy. We got to get this guy in. We got to get this guy in.
Another notable MLS player headed up to Canadian camp is Tejan Buchanan from the Revolution. Had a great second half of the season, but he's never going to be a right back in the U.S. system. No. That's kind of a long shot. So good luck, Tejan. Greetings.
Hey, listen, Canada's improved greatly. They're not a sleep walkover team as we used to be. They're going to be a tough out. We should beat them, but it's not going to be like 3-0 like a lot of people think.
The Northern Davies, that's what they're going to be called, the Alfonso Davies. Okay, Chris, dropping in saying, Caden to Leipzig. Yeah, that's something that we need to look forward to. Caden Clark had on his contract to come up to Red Bull a clause that said in the next, I believe it's 2 years, he was going to have one-time transfer to Leipzig.
Yeah, and again, you're going to see, the Red Bull family. Red Bull aren't going to get top dollar like they got for Adams. Like, you see what's going on with Reynolds. You see what's going on with Aronson getting sold to Europe. We should have got way more for Adams, and we didn't because of the Red Bull umbrella family. Same thing's going to happen with Caden Clark. You're going to see it like, oh, we sold him for like $3-4 million, blah, blah, blah. It should have been more. But listen, you're going to go there to Bundesliga. You're a young American. I'm all for it. That's a tough physical league. The kid can play. We saw what he can do at the end for the Rebels. He basically was our best player towards the end of the season with 5 goals at the end of the season. So, yeah, he's going there. It's just, barring some major injury or something that we don't unforeseen circumstance, we're only going to get to see him for a year here in Harrison.
All right. And that doesn't mean he's not going to go up and get loaned right back, but it doesn't mean that he has a one-way contract.
That's one thing I've always been surprised with Red Bull family. We don't get loan players from Leipzig and Salzburg and the Brazilian.
We got Royer.
Yeah. I'm surprised the synergy, synergy has not been used more. I'm a little surprised, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. Now, there were also some rumors coming out of Atlanta United this past week. They look to be signing Ronald Hernandez from Scottish club Aberdeen. He's pacey right back from Venezuela originally. 23 years old, played in Venezuela and in Norway in the first tier. He joins Atlanta head coach Gabriel Hines in starting to put together a new club this offseason.
Boy, if you're an Atlanta United fan, you just want to look at Joseph Martinez on Twitter and his Instagram and see how he is. To me, he looks pretty good, so I think he'll be pretty good next year. Well, you got to find someone to give him the ball and one more DP. Those left there, Barco hasn't worked out. Just need one more powerful guy up front, and Atlanta's back just where they were a couple years ago.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us now, thank you for joining us. We got a couple more stories. We're talking anything MLS, so if you're in the comments, you're dropping anything in, let us know. Atlanta in CCL 2021. Shake my head. That is part of the deal, part of the
COVID. Yeah, because of the COVID. Yep,
they're able to get enough slots away, so Atlanta will be returning to CCL 2021. But hey, who knows? They're used to playing on crap fields. They're playing on turf. They're doing – who knows? Maybe Atlanta will be the first team to make it through from the United States to win that cup. Okay, couple quick stories again. If you have anything to say, drop it in the comments. We'll talk about it right now. We got about 6 quick stories, and then we're going to be getting out of here for the day. LFC Galaxy looking to keep Pavone on a loan extension. Doesn't look promising. They had a huge buyout, which they are not interested in spending the money for. But
$10 million. $10 million. That's a big number.
Never really came out this season. LA Galaxy's whole season was a little more than a little disappointing. Very disappointing. So Pavone's future is in doubt unless they can restructure deal or get him for much cheaper. They are not paying full price. LA Galaxy is looking to retool this offseason. We will know soon if Pavone is part of those future plans.
I like the Steven League. I thought he was the best player in LA Galaxy. Like, there were times where he shined. Like, when he was one of the best players in the league. But $10 million now, and Galaxy didn't make the playoffs. Chicharito's been a bust. Goalkeeping situation over there, and the defense is terrible. They need, like, Sebastian Legette and they need a lot of help over there. New coach, they're going to – again, LA Galaxy, they're the land of Hollywood and stars. It's going to be some big name. If it's not Pavone, they're going to go out and get somebody big.
We only had
to work out. We'll get somebody else.
Chicharito would do an MLS, and this is
what I was wrong. I thought Chicharito was going to dominate. Like, it really did. I was very wrong with that.
Columbus Crew has a new striker by the name of Bradley Wright Phillips.
Oh, great. The rich get richer. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
And they had Fernando Adi that never even played on the bench, waiting for minutes up front. To me, that means there's going to be a change up front. Someone's not coming back. But again, you look at Columbus. As long as Zella Ryan is there, as long as Zardes is there, their goalie is very good. Caleb Porter knows the league. He's an excellent coach. One of the best young American coaches there is, no matter what anyone thinks about it. He knows X's and O's. And they got young talent. Little Berhalter is pretty good over there. Etienne, They're a good team, man. I mean, they're just the rich get richer. Again, he's going to come in there for Champions League and extra games. You know, Zardes might miss, you know, little knocks like that. Maybe he wants to put two forwards this month. Say what you want about Bradley Phillips. You know, at the end of the Red Bulls, he was terrible, but he was very good for LAFC last year. Where would they be without him? Where would they be without him last year? Where would they be without him last year?
Absolutely. LA Galaxy, I think we already talked about this, close to a deal getting coach Greg Vanney. Very unceremoniously left Toronto. He said he wanted a new challenge, and LA Galaxy.
That's a challenge. That's a challenge, all right. You know, a lot of personalities, a lot of money, and let's see what happens. Again, excellent coach. He was a good player in the league, too. What he's done in Toronto cannot be, you know, excellent job he did in Toronto with the man to MLS power. Can he do that in LA Galaxy now in a quick turnaround? They do things a little differently in LA than they do in Toronto, so let's see if he can adapt.
Absolutely. Also, we have a retirement to announce or to kind of talk about. Chris Wondolowski took all the retirement spotlight during this past year, and being the scoring leader of a league all time will do that. However, Kyle Beckerman has announced his retirement. I believe he had a 20-year career. His first year was, I believe, 1999. So over 20-year career. We saw him during the World Cup with that great run with the Dreads. He's someone you could always spot on the field, right like that. And one of my favorite players when I was, 20 years ago when I was first getting into MLS, into U.S. soccer, one of the guys who I could just spot. I know who that is, Kyle Beckerman. So congratulations on a great career and a happy retirement.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. He was a great defensive midfielder for MLS. One of the best there is. In U.S. national team, he little bite on the ball, kicked you in the back of the ankles, Achilles. He let you know where you were. I remember a story one time the U.S. Were playing. I think it was El Salvador or something. We already qualified a World Cup, and the other team needed like a point to get on. And the other team is yelling at Beckerman, "Why are you playing so hard? You guys are in the World Cup already." He goes, "I'm not on the final 21. He was still trying so, even though the U.S. national team made the World Cup, he was still trying his hardest and sly tackles and, you know, elbows. This tough player, great guy to have in your team, excellent human being. I know he'd be involved in soccer somehow in MLS, in the rail. So he's a legend in rail. So like he's gonna have to have some kind of ties there. It would not be surprised if him and Nick Raimondo have statues outside in Salt Lake over there. He's that important to Salt Lake.
Absolutely. If we go on further news, David Beckham has said this week he will be even more active in decision making roles in Miami. We assume that he was the guy, but now he's going to be the guy with the guy. And David Beckham, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed last year. The product put on the field. I like the way they played. I like a lot of the moves they made. They got Pizarro, excellent player. They went out and got who was the younger kid? Pellegrini, who I think has a lot of promise in this league, but they didn't get it done year one. That's not going to happen again. David Beckham now taking a more active decision-making role.
Blaise Matuidi was not Blaise Matuidi from 5 years ago, and Higuain came in and he had a gut on him. Looked like he was 20 pounds overweight. Guys still are over 35. We were at that game. He still had a banger, but when you first heard that signing, you were thinking, oh, this guy's going to, Zlatan all over you. This guy's going to bang two goals every game, and it did not happen. I'm a little surprised David Beckham took a hands-off approach last year. But I think now you're really going to see his stamp on this team. Remember, the coach thought he was going to get fired. He's coming back, but the director of player, resigned. Was it? Forgot his name. The guy, the ex Atlanta guy, the front office guy. So they need a new front office guy. Again, they're going to get a whole bunch of new guys. They need a new goalkeeper. Obviously, I think Robles is coming back. So big changes in Miami coming, but David Beckham is involved. So you know there's going to be a big name here, big name there. They're going to make a splash, and he's not going to let them finish 10th again in the East if he's got any say. Right now, he's not going to let it happen.
Absolutely. And last but not least, because we have to talk about Messi every episode, Messi said, and I quote, "I have always dreamed of playing in the USA." Fact or crap?
Oh, it's a fact. But whether it would happen, how are you going to pay the greatest player of all time $50 million a year?
New York's figured it out before.
We had Pelé here back in the day, but the only way this can happen, and we talked about this off air, he's a spokesman for Pepsi, he's a spokesman for Adidas. They got to get equity in these kind of companies or something like that, because there's no way MLS
or $1 billion. He could
become a future owner for like $5 million or something. I would love to see him here, but I don't want to see Messi at 40. You know what I mean? The window is closing rapidly on him. This has got to happen within the next 2 years, or I'm like, you know what I mean?
I understand. I feel that too. And like I said, we saw that a little bit with Higuain. I think Higuain could be an exceptional player in MLS. Just in the pandemic,
Messi, he was
sitting there drinking some what are they even drinking in Italy? Some too many
San Pellegrino.
Peroni. I don't know. Too many Peroni.
Let me tell you something.
Moretti's. That's another guy.
Lionel Messi comes to MLS next year or two. Can you imagine Patrick Segrist of Miami going one on one with Messi down the wing? Are you kidding me? Come on, guys. I mean that's you know. But we can dream. MLS wants to be serious. You got to get guys like this, but in their prime. Not when they're 38. Yeah, again, I want to see him here, but I don't want to see him at 40. And to them, it's too late.
Any final thoughts for today, Alex?
No, you know, we took a couple weeks off, and now we're back. I think we're going to be doing this more regularly now. My field of work is the worst part of the year, so my free time has been limited. But I'm back now, and U.S. national team. I think we're playing Serbia at the end of the month. A lot of MLS players. Serbia's only bringing their domestic players. It's not it's a friendly. Maybe we could find a diamond in the rough. There's always some guy that stands up, so I'm looking forward to that. MLS, the players and the owners, this collective bargaining agreement is really a negative right now. After such a positive buzz we got around the world with selling our players and making money, this is a negative, and I don't know how they're going to overcome this.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will, because I want to see MLS start in March. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned here. We're going to talk about it every week.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for joining us. Let us know if you enjoyed us being live today. Not much has changed. We don't really edit much on our videos. Usually it's just names that we screw up that we edit out and edit back in. But let you guys know if you enjoyed coming on live, and drop those comments below. Thank you for joining us today at ID Sports.
Adios.